And I'm hoping everyone out there thinks more about this point, which is Proudhon's. This point, this notion of the natural harmonization of our gifts and what that would look like, and or what that would feel like, so that we can begin to believe in it. And this is a natural harmonization of gifts that occurs to life free of coercion. Do we see the connection here with economics? That these are two opposing methods of getting ourselves fed, one based on force, the other on freedom. With non-humans, Proudhon thinks the degree of skill disparities between individuals is slight compared to human beings. That, for instance, all birds who do the following things: learn to build nests, assume the guard, watcher position, learn where and how to forage and dig, how to nurture their babies, dance mid-air and sing. What distinguishes humans, he thinks, is continuous intellectual development when we're free. And as we're social and think socially, we see what others we bond to need, i.e., we seek to please. We seek to please because it pleases us. And this is the body speaking. It pleases us to please. There is a natural link here between intellectual development and sexuality, a connection captured, at least partially, in the word sensuality. As we use our thoughts' development to please, harmonize with others, we are pleased, stimulated sexually, which encourages us to keep going. This is what made Prince's thought so potent. He did this consciously. Breaking our body connection to this mutual, sensuous appreciation of each other's gifts, in which we bond with them, breaks our thought's development. It seems, from what he said in one of the interviews we discussed and the excerpts from interviews with Prince, are posted both to our Prince and Proudhon audio pages beginning around September 2016, as well as to the Rainbow Children page, which you can get to from either the link on the blog page of the Nascence website or from the links on the Prince and Proudhon audio pages. It seems that Prince trusted this double mutually reinforcing process, trusted that we could stimulate it in each other, trusted that the fun of it, of being engaged playfully with the world when we're free, and as we're getting free, especially compared to the deadness of class, trusted that in combination with discussion and in conjunction with our growing clarity that the state is fascist, it would be enough to end the system. Even as the state desperately tries to put a lid on all of this through its monopolization of our means of communicating, through the fact that a system is inherently totalitarian, is necessarily totalitarian. And what is totalitarian has the potential of appearing natural, to seem all there is, all that is possible, and in which then power can stay hidden, can disappear into the natural order of things, quote unquote. This was Plato's innovation in the service of his fathers, his explanation of how to advance the hierarchy of class to the status of system, and therefore to the status of permanence, his great dream, by organizing clearly what he'd learned from studying the class arrangements of Egypt, ancient Egypt, and the city-state of Sparta. So when economists say that they see a natural process of economic development, quote unquote, what they are seeing is an amalgam of hidden dynamics never mentioned, and easily kept hidden, as we're never told that to understand a global system of class and its economics, we must view it from the vantage of the whole. We're never told that force, hidden power, is continuously being applied outside of their measurement scheme. Why is that never discussed? And that this is the process, the fact that there is no quote-unquote free market, right? And that this is the process of the earth being eaten. Rosa Luxemburg discusses this in The Accumulation of Capital near the end. The fact that accumulation rests on theft, on the violent extraction of our bodies and the earth's wealth, both forced into the ignoble project of constructing a world in powers, the global state statesman's ultimately image. What is happening that they are not capturing, these economists, is our constant push for intellectual development, which to flourish cannot be separated, as Prince shows us, from the free expression of our body's spontaneous expression of its feelings. A drive that happens for each and every one of us under class within the broader frame of power's total absorption in its grab, steal, destroy, quantification, privatization mission, which it euphemistically calls economic development. What's key to seeing what is really going on in quote-unquote economic theory is understanding that we are longing for freedom, are invisible to it, cannot be quantified, and so to them doesn't exist. Moreover, this dynamic of our continuous forward momentum to freedom, though it's never called this in Powers Media, and is rather directed via the economy into the false goal of productivity, because of the application of external force, which is the power guys and their minions, the external force against it is forcibly set in opposition to itself, our quest for intellectual development. It is we who are digging our own graves when we continue to serve the state, not the ones who hold the whip and drive us to perform for it. So, to the degree that all that those we are bound to by ties of love, to the degree that all they want is limited, in the case of this global class system, to obedience, so too are we limited. And we see, then, how obedience hobbles us, stalls our growth. And we see why the system has only survived by means of continuously reinfusing itself with those still spiritually alive and who it therefore seeks to kill. The opposite of reverence.